You know, there was a story in the Wall Street Journal today, and it was about the dismissal of, the firing of Stephen Colbert in The Late Show. But just think about this headline for a minute. Can it happen here? Ask Tucker Carlson. Oh, yeah. Is that similar or is that completely different? The thought that you may have had when you heard that Stephen Colbert was losing his show in May and 200 fellow employees will be gone, because they're not canceling Colbert just, they're also canceling the whole show. They don't even want the franchise anymore. And you may have decided that that was just a way for CBS and Paramount to grease the skids for the pending sale. This is just going to make it that much easier for the FCC and the Trump administration to say, okay, Paramount, you can sell. And the podcast I frequently listen to called The Town with a guy named Matt Bellamy is interesting. And he said, just as a reminder, that the late night show cost $100 million a year to produce and was losing $40 million a year. 200 employees make a decent salary on that show. Stephen Colbert alone gets $20 million. And so Bellamy came down with the conclusion, he says, I hate to be wishy-washy, but I think it was both. Yeah, it was politically prudent, but it was also economically inevitable. He thought that the decision, which was actually made July 4th, they waited until Colbert got back from vacation, and then they told him, then he immediately told the world before it leaked out. So he's got at least a 10-month run. One observation that he had was that if this was purely political, why did they give him 10 months to snipe at Trump or anybody else, including his parent company, for the next almost year? Chris Jones wrote about this. Well, I don't know that Chris Jones wrote about this. The editorials in the Tribune are unsigned.
We never admit who actually wrote them.
So I don't know who wrote it, but I know Chris knows about the Entertainment Beat, and I sometimes think I recognize his brilliant writing. Hi, Chris Jones. How are you?
Oh, come on.
Here's the headline in your paper today. That is on the editorial page. Stephen Colbert roasted bosses and took risks. Bravo. What's that all about?
Well, I think, you know, I think you did a very good summary there of the situation, in that the show was losing $40 million, and CBS, Paramount, they're profit-making enterprises. They can't be expected to, you know, sit on a money-losing proposition forever. And I think the issue with late night, which is familiar to all of us in media, how things are changing, certainly to you and to me, you know, what's happening in late night is that you and I, when we were young, used to sit watching Letterman at 1 in the morning in our bedrooms, maybe. And now people really don't do that anymore in the same numbers. A lot of people watch Colbert in kind of bite-sized segments that they look at on Instagram or TikTok. And the problem for our bosses, as you well know, John, is that, you know, that doesn't, no revenue accrues from that, or a very limited revenue accrues from that. So even though the content gets out there, the show itself can't sell advertising at the same levels if it's not delivering the live audience. And that, you know, I think it's really sort of endemic to all of the late night TV shows. And I think Colbert is the best of them. It is the best of them. Still arm, as you point out, for 10 more months. But, you know, it's ultimately a dying sort of thing, which is sad, because I have very many happy memories of watching Johnny Carson and then Letterman and all the people that followed him. But I think that's the reality. Now, on the other hand, he was also a pain in the neck of CBS. But, you know, we argue in the editorial that's his job. It's good to poke fun at bosses. Maybe some people might say he went a bit far, like, you know, Johnny Carson and Letterman used to always be quite gentle in their ribbing of the bosses, but the younger generation of talk show hosts are more, you know, really a bit more caustic. And Colbert, I think he said he no longer has trust in his network following, you know, following the settlement with 60 Minutes with President Trump. And, you know, if you say that stuff, it's like, I'm sure you think about this all the time. If I say this, am I going to get fired? And it's all part of the game, deciding what to say and what not to say. But In this case, I think it was just a very expensive show that was losing money. And I think maybe with a combination of political expediency, as you said, but I think ultimately that's that. But one thing we wanted to say was that Colbert's been a really good guy to Chicago.
Yeah, yeah.
He started here, and he's taken care of Chicago. He's looked after his friends at the Looking Glass Theater when they needed him. I saw him in countless benefits over the years. I remember one of his friends here lost a child, and I remember I went to the funeral, and there he was, mourning with his friend. He's a stand-up guy, and to my estimation.
You wonder if he loses his job, how does Jon Stewart still have his? That's a Paramount product as well. And
yeah, good question.
And maybe he will lose his show, although maybe he won't. I don't want to say that the network should be cognizant of the optics, but it looks a little, naive isn't the right word, just foolish to do that at this time under these circumstances. Don't they know what's going on? Don't they know how this will be perceived? And then their statement that this was not done for contextual reasons, but for financial reasons, however true,
yes,
just sounds dumb. It doesn't sound true. And I don't know if they should then continue to lose money just for the sake of standing on some principle, but the timing could not have been worse.
Yeah, that's 100% correct. I mean, you could argue they're between a rock and a hard place. They're losing money with the show, but if they get rid of the guy, they're open to those charges. But, you know, it surprised me. I would have thought you would hang on at least until, you know, if you're keeping the show for 10 more months, if I were in their shoes, I think I would maybe have announced this 3 months before the end of the show. I would have let it play out over
the year.
You know, and rather than right in the middle of this whole thing with, you know, let's be clear, that was a bogus lawsuit against 60 Minutes that, you know, anybody in radio or TV knows that routine editing to make somebody be their best self is what we do, because we want our guests to, you know, not stutter in the way that I am right now because I'm live. And so that's part of what professionals do. So it was a completely bogus, I thought anyway, a completely bogus.
I don't even think 60 Minutes edited it to compliment Kamala Harris, but just to save time. I mean, there were two clips from the same interview.
Right.
And I don't think she came off stellar. She was just making a rather banal point. So
That's right.
I don't even think that's it was favorable editing to her. It was what's called editing. But that's beside the point. I wonder if you have a thought about this. If it was for political reasons, then do you leave Stephen Colbert on or do you keep Jon Stewart? Colbert has 10 months and Stewart's still on the air, et cetera, et cetera. So maybe that lends a little credence to the notion that we all aren't caving to political pressures in this country, although that's the sick feeling people have in their stomach, isn't it, Chris, that free speech and an independent and strident and critical press is caving in on itself, and that's the scary part.
Well, I think the media organizations, including the ones that you and I work for, they have corporate bosses, and those corporations have agendas. And we have an administration that is sort of is mercurial and mercenary, and those corporations are, of course, their interests are to try and get their deals done, and they don't want to upset the administration, and that is very problematic for the editorial content providers who work for them. And the good ones are courageous, and they say what they have to say anyway, and I would definitely put Colbert in that category. And I think people who look at the long game in American democracy are aware of the importance of that, that you should be able to turn on your TV and hear somebody criticizing anything that person wants to do, and that the criteria is just how good they are at their job and how good, how many people watch.
I support
Colbert being able to speak out, and I think that most Americans, when you really get down to it, recognize that you don't want the government interfering or chilling the atmosphere so that corporations feel they can't have anybody who's got a, you know, a counter view. I think even Trump in his best days, honestly, would sort of recognize that. And it, you know, it's just a terrible situation that's not the dominant way things are going at the moment.
Here's something we can't know. Were the show profitable or even break even, would this be happening? But we won't know the answer to that. It's an interesting piece that somebody wrote in the Chicago Tribune today. Colbert roasted bosses and took risks. Nice to talk to you, Chris Jones.
It's always a pleasure, John.